Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. Do we have a new left tackle? Will changes actually be made? Shout out to South Oak Cliff and DeSoto, baby, holding it down.
Go Bears.
2-1. DFW taking over and beating Houston. Duncanville, we still love you. And that was a heartbreaker on fourth down. Almost sent Reginald Samples out on a high note. Who knows? Maybe that's enough for him to come back, as it is hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day on this holiday week. It's just a few days away from Christmas. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander. Just for a couple days left, we got Carter Freeman coordinating the video before he says bye-bye and he goes somewhere else.
Comes a TV guy, right?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a TV guy. We got Gavin Dawson on vacation. Oregon, back to see the family.
Hopefully he didn't trip his mom through the, you know, like she was carrying the prime rib leftovers to the garage, and he left a pair of boots out, tripped his mom. She went on the IL for an extended stay.
That's got to be a terrible feeling.
Like the guilt, like your mom takes a dive and you have to, she breaks her wrist.
Mm.
Yeah.
How was the recital, Eric?
It was solid, man.
Recitals were good.
They should have advertised it as a comedy show, because I sat through like an hour's worth of performances, and it was hilarious. It really was.
Did your kids contribute to the comedy?
Was it
other families that was contributing?
No,
to
I think there were other families that probably contributed a little bit more to the comedy, but it's always adorable.
Are you saying your family's more talented than the other families?
No,
I think you're saying that little Betsy and Johnny didn't perform as well as your kids.
I don't know if we're making Betsy's anymore.
It was the big dude. I don't think we're making Betsy's anymore. It's a good call. And
I'm 62
it was the
years
big
old,
dudes.
Bro.
Like we had... you know, you have all ages. So there was like high school and middle school
what?
And all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it was like a hodgepodge of age groups that were, you know, just going on and off the stage doing their different performances.
Okay, I thought you were in a preschool situation like I was.
Yeah, no, I mean.
We're talking like 2 to 4.
Yeah, no, there
or
was.
Even younger, 1 to 4.
Yeah, there
singing?
Was. It was the gamut, dude.
Not really.
Like from like 3 years old to 18 years old, I was watching people perform, you know, and watching dudes that look like offensive linemen out there. You know, doing musical theater stuff. It made me think of, I was like, dang near about to text Bobby, like, hey, could you dig up some old Plano footage of the Woolly Bully hitting some musical theater? Watch Bobby, him prance around.
Bobby will find Fiddler on the Roof all day, won't he?
Man.
Oh, he will. Yeah.
You have to go back to like Hagerman.
Like, oh,
school.
Hey, one time I was in, you know, Guys and Dolls, and next thing you know, Bobby's got the video of you actually doing it.
Yeah. Spirit fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Lucius, good to have you back, man. How was your four-day weekend or five-day weekend, whatever?
It was fantastic, man. I brought that old thing back. You know what I'm saying?
That you did.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
You did.
Life, I made memories. I'll tell you that. Hey. Bro. Made some memories, bro.
So good, you didn't even need it.
Now, all that stress and stuff that was, you know, it'd take to build up to that day.
Yeah.
You know, I had the flood and all that stuff in my house.
Yeah.
Oh, man, all of that released. You can tell. Yeah.
That's a sigh of relief.
We got a little wild, bro.
Good for you.
Was it local debauchery, or did you bounce around?
No, it was local. It was right here.
Awesome.
In the DFW.
Heck yeah. Planted the flag.
Cowboys lose.
Yeah.
Plant that flag, baby. Yeah. You really did more ways than one, huh?
Yeah. Feet contest and everything. It was crazy, man. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
Wow.
It's anniversary, and all of a sudden I got another woman's foot in my hand. It's crazy. I'm done. I'm going back to loading this up, all right? But just know. Just know your boy was in the pocket.
We'll circle back.
Was in the pocket.
You're the only judge on the foot committee, right?
No, I was, bro.
Yeah.
I was like, look at God looking out for me tonight. I didn't even ask for this.
Unbelievable.
I'm glad you had a good weekend.
Yeah,
Cowboys didn't. And I, well, you know what? I guess for a lot of fans, the loss is the victory now.
No, man.
In some way.
There's fans. The fans want them to win.
I want them to win during the game, and then afterwards, if they lose, I guess it is.
You do get mad in the post game.
I can't help it. I want to see them succeed, but with the draft stuff, it's like, okay, at least I guess. But then you still ended up, I think, at 14.
You were so excited that Minnesota pulled that victory out against the Giants.
Like, let's go, we're moving up a spot.
Yeah.
But not anymore. I think they're back at 14 via Tankathon after what happened the rest of the day yesterday.
So what happened where you went from 13 to 14? I thought we were kind of locked in there for a minute.
No, Baltimore is at 14. Okay, good. I was hoping Baltimore wouldn't leapfrog us. We're still all right at 13 with Baltimore dropping that one to New England, even with Lamar Jackson leaving. It looked like they had a chance there, which shout out to Drake May. We'll get to that a little bit later. But the big news, obviously, Tyler Smith, we found out during pregame, was going to play left tackle. Interested when we get to Krusty's Corner at 340, what you thought of him. But there's been a lot of back and forth. I know Steven on earlier with KNC. For the first time, it really did sound like this could be a permanent move.
Can I be real honest here?
Yeah.
Why the hell would you move an all-pro guard to left tackle?
I don't know. And I think the timing of this is really strange. Like, well, I get for the week, I understand it.
Yeah.
But now for the rest of the season?
How about this? Okay, yeah. I don't think Guyton's going to play the rest of the season, by the way.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there because I don't think you make this move if you don't think Guyton's coming back, right?
Well, I don't know, because Shadi's saying, like, if Guyton returns, he's gonna be playing
swing tackle.
See, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous to me right now.
Couldn't agree more, because he needs as many reps as he can get.
Right. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. And I can understand in a week of not – they don't trust Adeniji. If this whole thing – just come out and tell us you think that Guyton can't stay healthy. Just come out and tell us that.
Sure.
Just come out and say, hey, listen, we don't think that Tyler Guyton can play long-term in the National Football League because he can't stay healthy. That's essentially what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Would you take an all-pro guard and move him to left tackle with the thought that maybe he's going to be maybe a Pro Bowl guard? Maybe? Because
no.
You watched that tape yesterday, and he's a tackle. He was a guard playing tackle yesterday. And there's a sign of maybe, Broadus, give him more time. Hell, we don't even give Guyton time. We don't give Guyton time. We don't give Nate Thomas time. We don't give any of those guys time over there to do anything.
No, people want to say Revel sucks already, and he's played six games.
You know, that's fine. That's the fan base. I'm not going to argue with the fan base about that one. I'm not. If they want to sit there and I'll just keep evaluating players, keep talking, putting my draft boards together. Hope you guys all listen. But moving Tyler Smith to left tackle, I don't think is a good move. I really don't. I feel like that Dak Prescott can handle stuff off the edges. The tackles haven't been great this year. But to me, just moving him outside, it's easier to find a guard. Hell no! You know who your best offensive lineman is? Your right guard.
Yeah.
Your right guard is your best offensive lineman. Booker's been outstanding.
Booker's been really good.
Yeah, he's been outstanding.
And Tyler's been great for being hurt all year.
Exactly. I just don't know why all of a sudden it's like, you know, why don't you find a way to you've got these two line coaches. Why don't you find a way to let them work an offseason? You got Duke, those guys. You know, Guyton was making progress, but if you're moving this, if you're making a permanent move because you absolutely believe that Guyton is not going to be healthy enough to play, okay. But come out and tell me that. Don't just completely S-can Guyton. You know, he's going to be a swing tackle for us.
Well, now, what if their thinking is we're going to have him compete at right tackle next year? We're just going to move him. We're going to play Tyler at left tackle.
Then you know what you need to do right now? If he's healthy enough, put him at right tackle. If he's healthy enough to – but you know what? But to me, I would put Nate Thomas over at right tackle. I mean, he wasn't great against Arizona, but all right. If Dak's playing, you need your best five regardless. But, man, I don't think this is a permanent deal. I don't think so.
I hope not.
It's strange. The way that it seemed night was that, moving forward.
I listened to Jerry Jones for 6 years tell me how important the front of the pocket is.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's telling him something completely different.
And listening to Steven, that's why listening to him today on KNC, he'd always been like, no, he's a guard. We like him at guard.
Yeah.
Well, they're open now. They didn't shut that down. It's, yeah, well, we'll evaluate that. He's certainly capable of playing both spots. Now, Duke Manyweather, who we love and respect, at Big Duke 50, runs offensive, the masterminds for the offensive linemen.
One of the best at this.
He talked about the Tyler Smith move. He said his superpowers and the tools in his toolbox that help him excel at guard would be taken away at tackle and get him in trouble, which it does and has when he's on the edge. You'd be asking an all-pro player to reinvent himself to move to left tackle, and that's not what is best for him. Andrew Whitworth, all-pro tackle, added in. It's funny how easy people think this transition is. They're two different worlds.
It's not.
Here's how I always put it. When I played left guard for 2 years, football was fun. I never stressed. Just mindset. Play physical and technique was key. Missteps or timing can be masked with strength, size, and finish. Left tackle, it's a chess match. Every play, spatial awareness and timing become huge factors. All limitations or missteps can then get exposed at any moment. Setting 1 to 3 yards versus 5 to 7 yards is a massive difference. The recovery is much harder. So the sport equivalent he gives, left guard is a big man on the block defensively. Left tackle would be guarding someone on the perimeter. That's how different this is.
That's an all-pro, probably a Hall of Fame tackle telling you that. Duke and what he's done in the years and stuff of work that he's done, telling you the same thing. It's not that Smith can't do it, because we've seen him do it. He did it for
a year when Tyron got his rookie season.
I'm just telling you right now, man. The guy is, if you tell me you got two outstanding guards, all pro potential guards, and a center in Beebe that's kind of developing, work with Thomas, work with Guyton. But man, it seems very, very strange. But I can understand it if you didn't think that Nate Thomas was, I know he was active yesterday. Played on the field goal team.
Mm-hmm.
So I just can't believe that these coaches wouldn't want the opportunity to work with Guyton or work with Thomas if this is going to be a permanent move. Can't believe it.
It's a weird situation. Certainly is. I don't know. If it is just to survive the next two games, I don't know if Dak's going to play the finale. He's playing on Christmas Day. Steven told us that.
Oh, listen, this is what's about to happen. Jason Garrett made a living doing this. 8-8. It's important it's really, really important for Brian Schottenheimer to be 8-8-1. It really is. You don't want to get, the thought of having a losing season, even though the season is, no playoffs and all that. But to everybody in that building, being 8-8-1 is a lot different than being, being 7-9-1.
7-9-1?
Yeah, a lot different.
Mm. We found out about this Diggs concussion, boys. Eric, what were your thoughts? He was trying to be a handyman, which he says he shouldn't have been. He was trying to mount the flat-screen TV in the pole, ended up falling and hitting him in the head.
Is there a single person on earth that's buying this?
I felt like he was ball sacking us.
Not me on my end.
There's no, I mean.
I tell you what, he is well compensated for playing football. You don't need to be handyman guy. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to be using power tools or putting stuff up or whatever you're doing. Go hire that stuff out.
He had to change the budget, though, after punting on $500,000 in the offseason.
Well, he still makes enough money every Tuesday to be able not to have to deal with. There's people that probably come over and help him with it. I think that to me this is not accurate. I think there's something else clearly going on here.
Yeah, I mean, why do you wait this long to come up with
why is everybody in the organization saying, well, you need to ask Dix, instead of saying, hey, unfortunately, he was hanging a television,
right?
It hit him in the head. The pole hit him in the head. That just shows you. That shows you right there that somebody could have very simply, Shoddy could have said it, Jerry could have said it. You need to ask Diggs. Let Diggs explain that.
Right. Right.
So there's all kinds of things going on. What happened?
And who's doing TVs on poles? Have you ever walked into a house and be like, oh, that's a nice pole that you have there with your TV attached to it?
Mm.
Not once have I ever seen that. I don't know who's doing that.
A little fishy, but hey, that's his story, and he's sticking to it. It was interesting when he also added that he had thought that this could be his last game. He considered it as a Cowboy at AT&T Stadium. I think it is, and he certainly didn't play well again. And I don't know if that knee's ever going
to
be right.
I don't think if you ask him to play 3 or 4 yards off and not get his hands on somebody, he's got zero chance. He has got zero chance playing that way. He has got, and maybe what happened to him, that stab and slip in Chicago, kind of wrecked him a little bit mentally for doing that. But that happens in a game. But if you let him play 4 yards off and not get his hands on people, he's not going to cover me. You watch that game, it was just, it's maddening to say, play him in press, let him engage, and let him try and run with guys. But he's, I'm just saying this to me, I kind of feel like that his technique, his balance, all those things that he really, really relied on, his ability to almost guess and be accurate, they've kind of left him. They've kind of left him, and that's unfortunate. He needs to line up, play press. That cover two play the other day,
He messed that up.
He
absolutely. McConkey touchdown.
You tell in real time he messed that up.
That's him. And the answer he gave Fred and them was,
It's cover two.
Like, he was almost saying, like, it's cover two. You know damn good and well I can't play cover two. You know?
Yeah.
But, man, if somebody – he's got to adjust it with the motion to his side. When McConkey was coming to his side, he's got to carry that route. In cover two, that's what he's got to do. You know? If somebody comes in the flat, then you could sink and be that. But you could see hesitation. You could see him hesitate. Like, he was like, oh, wait, am I supposed to be up back? You know? That's a long run for Hooker and those guys to have to make.
Yeah.
And that's what he's expecting.
I mean, the safeties also, just the angles, the depth in which they play.
He messed it up at the snap. When the motion came to him and went wide.
Yeah, as soon as Hampton just decided he wanted to go out in the flat, he short-circuited. It's like, oh, my gosh, there's a guy right there. Stop. Yeah. It was bizarre. All right, we'll keep talking Cowboys throughout the show. We got the top 10 coming up next. We got the College Football Authority as well. Let's get our G-Bag of the Day champ. And then the top 10 best Christmas movies, according to IMDb. Tis the season, baby. The week of Christmas. Let's get some holiday cheer here. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The G-Bag Nation.
Here we go. It's a Monday in the G-Bag Nation. Let's get you the Wooly Bully Top 10 list of the day. Of course, we also have your G-Bag of the Day champion, College Football Monday Darty, coming up here in a few minutes as well. Segment here in the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, go ahead and call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. Into the Pimp Cup we go with Lucius on the G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah. All right, so... looks like it's the Giants fans said they're cursed. Is that our winner, champ?
Yes.
Of G-Bag of the Day so far?
Yes.
How is it not the Flyers Hot Mic?
Come on, right?
Flyers Hot Mic was
amazing. It got voted down.
How did it get voted down?
And then there
down?
Was a pretty great Bobby down. RJ moment as well. Yeah. Yeah. That's a stunner, boys.
Yeah, it got voted down.
That Flyers dude, bro.
I know.
All right, yeah, Giants fans say they are cursed. That is our G-Bag winning champ so far. I have not heard this, so I'm going to hear this the first time like everybody else that has it. Ah!
I went into the locker room with 5 minutes and 14 seconds to play in the game to take a shit. What the fuck happened during that shit? What kind of insanity happened on that field? Then I come out and watch the shit fest of insanity that occurred over the last 60 seconds, and now I am convinced that evil forces are working against us. That is the only explanation for how we can lose this game.
Evil forces.
These evil forces are working against us.
Forces.
That's pretty good. That's pretty
Nothing good. You did good during that game matters. Nothing! For 55 minutes, you sucked up the joint so bad that you look like Pop Warner's sack in blue helmets.
Okay. All right. All right.
That's aggressive.
Yeah.
Pop Warner nutsack drop right there. Is that what we got? Yeah. That's pretty spectacular.
Man.
All right. We'll have a batch of new challengers coming up at 5:30 today.
Forward.
Looking forward to that. But right now it is time for the Willy Bully Top 10 List of the Day.
Yes, baby. It is the week of Christmas, and we've got the top 10 Christmas movies according to IMDb, the International Movie Database. I believe is what that stands for. If it's not, I don't care. You can let me know what the real version is. 817 texted in, yeah, DFW sports are down bad right now. Not true, okay?
Go Stars.
Not true. The Dallas Stars are absolutely winners. And they get a 5-1 win again yesterday. Jake Ottinger's been fantastic. The penalty kill's been good. So to me, the Stars, they're keeping pace in a loaded Central Division with Colorado and Minnesota. They haven't skipped a beat. The Dallas Stars deserve all of your attention.
I'm going to say this. And Eric, you, I think they're in a national anthem. Are you getting food? Or are you like listening to national anthem at the Cowboys game?
No, I'm listening. Yeah, I mean, I usually get my plate, and then right before I take that first bite, they announce that the anthem is approaching, and so we all stand up and we soak it in.
Okay, I've noticed this the last couple of home games that the Stars, when they say the Stars, that's loud, and then now national anthem. It's now, and then when the fans go, Stars! That's getting louder and louder, is what that is.
Good.
So, yeah, that's
as
well
it
deserved. We need more of that. More of that.
As it should. Also, well deserved. The Cowboys defense still not giving up the most points in the league this year. The Bengals still hold that by 4 points. All right. So, hey, boys, second to the most. Second to the most, but not the most. All right, you're doing a good thing out there.
Your organization's terrible.
Just keep it up, boys. Just keep it up.
They're like what? Like 6 points away from reaching the 500 points surrendered on the season?
Probably. I mean, what's 500 points allowed, huh?
As long as your record's 500, everybody can go home happy.
No just finish 8-8-1, all right? Let's play the string out, boys. It's
I'm
all
just
good.
Telling you right now, that's what they're trying to do.
I know that's what they're trying to do, Brian. I get it. I mean, what Dak said yesterday in the post game, I understand. I understand their line of thinking.
Yeah.
I get the player's
perspective. You're not a loser if you're
this.
8-8-1.
Okay.
Yep. Jason Garrett did it for 10 years.
He did. I thought we learned from that. I thought we learned lessons.
Yeah.
I guess, you know,
it just allowed him to stay around a little longer.
It did. It did allow him to stay around. You're right. Big lesson learned for Jake Paul. Don't get in the ring with Anthony Joshua. I don't know how many of you guys actually paid attention to this.
He broke that guy in half.
He broke his jaw, bro. It was amazing, man. It's so satisfying to see it like that.
It was nasty.
It was so satisfying, man.
Were we all kind of waiting for that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I think Mike Tyson, that could have been you, son. That could have been you, Mike, but you was playing games.
Why didn't Mike knock him out like that?
Should have, man.
I don't know.
He should have, but he didn't.
I don't know.
It was the fine print of the contract, I'm sure.
Like, if you knock me out, you're not going to get paid?
Something along those lines.
That guy made a pretty good payday, didn't he, Lucius?
Oh, they both did.
$30-40 million dollars?
Huge.
Knocking that guy out?
Yep. Yeah, I think he has to play like his the British tax and American tax on his.
Oh, no.
But he's still walking home with like 60-something, so that's
all right.
Great.
Here we go.
Gosh.
Yeah, come
here
on. What are we talking about? And basically, that was like a tune-up fight for him in a sense. You know, it really didn't give him any real struggles other than he had to chase the guy around the whole the time.
Yeah, it takes some takedown defense.
Dude, man.
Oh, it's huge.
Gosh, dang,
huge.
It's a big man.
Massive. Yeah. Massive. But everyone finally got to see Jake Paul get his jaw broken, which is what they were tuning in for in the first place.
Hey, so, I admire Jake Paul for jumping in there,
though. 100%. A lot of people don't have the balls to do that.
I know. Man, his face was purple.
Yeah, I mean, because he was going to fight a guy much smaller than him.
Yeah.
Tank Davis at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he ended up being fighting the Jolly Green Giant in a sense.
Good. Karma.
And then he struck him one time. Because remember he said Anthony had a soft jaw?
Yeah.
He hit him in that jaw. And it's the first time in boxing. I've never seen it like this. Yeah. Dude didn't do anything. That punch did absolutely nothing. It just kept coming. It didn't faze him. His face didn't move or nothing. And you can just see the... Rah!
Yeah.
Paul gave it all he had. And Anthony was just still coming towards him. I was like, oh, man, it's a bad night for you, bro.
Yeah. The next day photos of Paul's face are ridiculous. Yeah. Like laying in the hospital bed, swollen as any face you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, I bet it's bad.
Oh, like, my it's like gosh, it's bad.
When you get your jaw broken, that thing's going to be... I know there's also a lot of AI stuff that's been circulating.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess so we got to be careful.
Just look at the bottom, because I have seen a lot of, like, the purple one you're talking about. It did say AI generated at the bottom.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, we got to double check some of this stuff. You know,
just
look at us.
Might as well just like go ahead and like take all my accounts out if that's what you're going
to
do.
Well, you know, one's down, and we're trying to get it back for you. All right.
Nobody's helping me there. Elon Musk took that thing over and fired everybody that can help somebody.
He did.
Son of a bee.
All right, let's get to the top 10 Christmas movies. Eric did this for you because you're going to be out for the next couple days, and then you'll be back Friday, right? No Christmas Day for you, Christmas Day football. We're going to take this over. Brian, you got me. You got me for pregame, baby.
There you go.
Oh, putting the post?
I don't know what we're going
to When's the last time? Did you and I win a game together sometime?
Yeah, we won the Eagles game.
Eagles game.
Mm-hmm. Eagles game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are on a good run.
We're on a heater.
You guys together are going to make this team 8-8-1.
Yeah. We're going to have them go on a 2-game win streak here to end the season. We're going to be 8-8-1. All right, top 10 Christmas movies, courtesy of America. Started watching Home Alone last night with the kiddo. When I got home, she was still awake. She took an extra long nap. Eliza was really into it for about 30 minutes, and then she got tired, and it was time for bed. But she was into what Kevin McAllister was doing there in Home Alone. It's a great movie. Still holds up. Love it. Big-time classic. It'll be high on this list. Four Christmases, I know, is a big one for you, Eric.
Yeah, Four Christmases is fantastic. And I don't think it gets near the love that it deserves. But if you're a Vince Vaughn guy, then you're going to like that movie. It's funny. It is a funny Christmas movie.
I did not watch any of the Andrew Tate fight 2-1-4. I did see the highlight of him, the end of it with Chase DeMore.
He got smashed.
Did he?
Yeah, he got smashed.
I mean, I don't know. Wasn't he 40 years old? I don't know. Wasn't he a kickboxer? Was he actually a boxer?
Yeah, but he got beat up by a dude that had no business really beating him up.
He's like a social media guy.
I know that feeling.
Look at the highlights, bro. It looks crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude looks like he's a mockery of the sport. Yeah,
that was a skip it for me.
It was like Butterbean guy?
No, he had just some weird movements going on in there.
Oh, no.
He doesn't look like
skipping around.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You don't get beat up by a guy that does that to you.
You seen that that video of the guy that's the big heavyset guy that's doing the karate?
No.
He jumps around and kicks his legs out, and I have to show this
to you. Oh, I got to see this.
Just type in fat karate man.
I got to see this.
Type in fat karate man.
Yes, I can't wait to watch this during the break.
I'm a karate man.
817 said Polar Express, number one, hands down. There is a lot of love for Polar Express. People do love that movie. Do you have a Christmas movie that you have to watch every year, Lucius?
Yeah. I like Gremlins.
Okay.
Gremlins is my Christmas movie. I mean, the Mugwai was a Christmas gift.
Yeah, Gremlins freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah, really did. Spike is my favorite Gremlin. How about that?
Number 10 on the list is Gremlins. On the outside looking in, Bad Santa at 11. Jim Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The Polar Express did not make the top 10, I'm sorry. And Scrooged.
Yeah! Scrooged, I love Scrooged.
Really good.
Yeah.
9 is Miracle on 34th Street. You've probably seen that, Brian.
Very old movie,
1947.
Yep. 1947, yep.
A Christmas Story at number 8. It's okay.
All right.
I can do without a Christmas Story. Elf at 7. I know Davis is pissed, but it made the top 10. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, my personal number 1, comes in at 6.
Absolutely.
On this list, hilarious.
Yeah, that's number 1. I'm with you, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be top Classic. 4 minimum. I can't believe that would be at outside 6. Of the top 5.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
The Christmas bonus, bro. Like, he fell apart when he didn't get that Christmas bonus. It got bad, dog.
And we can all relate to that. The crash out.
Is Rudolph, is that like a 1966 one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, 1964.
Is that claymation, the claymation ones?
Stop motion?
No. These are,
I think it is stop motion.
These are, like, Frosty the Snowman was a black and white one. And then there was...
This one looks like it's got some color to it.
Yeah. No, this one does.
47 minutes of runtime.
I don't do it like that anymore,
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Was Frosty's bad guy the Heat Miser? Was that his name? He wanted to melt Frosty?
Oh, my
what
gosh,
a bastard,
yes.
bro. What a bastard. I want to melt your guy. Are the kids just loving this dude? Like, I'm going to melt him, bro.
Screw you, bro.
What an evil dude.
A Christmas Carol comes in at 4. The original.
Original.
1951. You know that one well.
I know that one well. Seriously, the ones that are like 1960 and back are the ones that I do know.
I agree with you, Walton Waco. The Night Before is Slept On. Very good.
Okay.
Funny movie. White Christmas. Muppets Christmas Carol being texted
in.
Hey,
I tell you, the Muppets Christmas thing is pretty funny.
It is. Anything Muppets related is usually pretty strong. Ernest Saves Christmas. Loved it as a kid. Forgot about it as an adult.
I don't think I ever saw that
Ernest. Movies were good.
Yeah, I saw a handful of them, but I don't know that I saw that one.
That was that character actor dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How you doing, Vern?
Yeah, that's yeah, him, right? Yeah. Okay.
Office Christmas Party getting texted in, Jingle All the Way.
Didn't he do like some Brahms commercials too?
I think you're right.
Did he really?
I think he did. I believe he did, man.
I would,
don't
I
give
would
me
do
the line, bro.
Yeah, I'll go Brahms on y'all Brahms, day.
So good. Three is Die Hard. They do have it listed as a Christmas movie. Two is Home Alone. Number one most popular Christmas movie of all time, according to IMDb. It's a Wonderful Life.
1946, I believe.
Comes in at numero uno. I know I've ticked some people off with my take on that, but...
Hello, Savings and Loan!
It's a good movie. The Christmas wasn't until the very end of It's a Wonderful Life, but I guess people tell me the whole point of it, it was supposed to be Christmassy themed.
Yeah.
So the last 10 minutes, they let you know that it's Christmas?
And it's Christmas Eve. Otherwise, it's never Christmas in the movie. It's the last 10 minutes. Hey, it's Christmas Eve. Everyone's coming over. I guess this is what makes
Why
it a Christmas movie.
Why are you such a
movie.
Hater, bro?
It's just one movie. I love all the other ones. Yeah. Your crusty.
And Walchuk's a movie guy. Great list, Walchuk. Nice
Thanks,
work.
I appreciate
Off the
it.
Races here in the G-Bag Thank Nation you. On a Monday.
I
college.
Feel good about it.
Oh, it's going to be that way for the day.
Screw you, Brian. We're going to team up on Broadus College Football Monday. Darty, crack them if you got them. Let's recap round one next in the nation.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Thank you, Lucius. We'll be chatting with Brian Dantzel, Elite Media Network, talking all things college football at the top of the hour. Big news coming down. Todd Archer reporting after Denzel Perriman was suspended 2 games by the NFL Chargers linebacker for the hit on Ryan Flannoy yesterday, and he's also a repeat offender. Todd Archer saying Flannoy did not return. We know after the hit. Yeah. Cowboys feared it was a potentially major injury after the game, but we got good news on the MRI.
There you go.
It's a strain.
There you go.
So we're waiting for more word if he's able to play this week or even against the Giants or if he's just going to be shut down this season.
Yeah, okay. That is great news. Yeah. Flannoy has been really, really good for you.
Yeah,
you
know? he's been a bright spot.
He has been an absolute bright spot. So you guys carry on. I'll see if I can get some more information here. Okay?
Big sigh of relief there. We'll talk with Brian Dantzel coming up on the other side. But let's keep this college football train rolling. Here's Eric Schiaffalo for a college football Darty.
Yes, sir. Round one, it was all right.
It wasn't good.
Let's get into it after this.
Well, looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, fucking joke.
I want them now to say our name again!
Well, I don't got the right man, Cole.
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much stress.
All right, the good news is we got the TAMU police reports, and we will get to those, ladies
Hell
and
yes.
gentlemen. Do not worry. There were a handful that were pretty impressive, I gotta say. But things started in Norman on Friday night. You blink, they're up 17-0. Oh my gosh, Bama is about to crap the bed right now. They really are falling apart in a big way. And then next thing you know, you have the Sooners punter. What is the punter doing? Just dropping the ball. Get some big fourth down from Bama. You get the pick six going as well. And then the rest is sort of history there as the Sooners offense really couldn't do much at all. I mean, they don't run the ball at all. 33 carries for 55 yards. Yeah. That's how the Sooners run the football. 33 carries for 55 yards. The 50 Cent thing backfired on them in a big way. They had 50 Cent come out at halftime, put on a nice little show. Turns out that's like the rally song for the Alabama players. So they're looking around going, oh my gosh, is this a home field environment right now for
us?
That's
some poor planning there. Right?
You got to be more buttoned up than that.
Hey, Carter loved it, though. At least that was a bright spot for people in attendance.
Poor Carter Freeman getting out there, getting ball sacked by his own team, up 17-0, and then Simpson started to deal. Bama defense started to hunker down. And again, I'll never unsee that Sooners punter. What was he doing?
It was kind of crazy there. I'll say this. I didn't start watching the game until Oklahoma was up 17-0. I had stuff going on, you know, that I was working on. And all of a sudden I sit down, I'm like, oh, 17-0. Let's see what's going on here. And at that point, Oklahoma just completely started to fall apart.
Okay.
And I was like going, wow, this is kind of, you know, it kind of reminded me a little LSU, like, you know,
yeah.
Like find a way to kind of like just completely screw things up. But I'll tell you, you're going to get into Texas A&M, aren't you?
Oh, for sure. But I do just want to play Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler trying to understand what the Sooners punter was doing.
Oh, okay.
It's a great snap. He just lost the football. Really no explanation for it. By the time he picks it up, the big fella's right there in his face.
I mean, that's perfect. Herbstreit nailed it. I don't really know how to say this other than the fact that he just inexplicably dropped the football and punted it into the face of the Bama defender.
Do you think he was trying to do the flip-flop punt? You know, the thing end over end kind of, and sometime he was trying to put the ball in position and it went flying out.
I'll take your expertise here. You're a long snapper. You're a part of all three phases. I don't know.
Sometimes these punters, they'll push the ball out in order to, like, punt it to where it becomes a flip-flop punt and maybe try. Everybody's come and specialized with like a rugby style that run to the right, run to the left, punt the ball. I think this guy was maybe looking at a flip-flop situation and the ball flew out of his hands.
Okay, so.
Oh, wow. By the way, just got note that that Flannoy could play this week.
Let's go.
Wow, heck yes, on a short
good
week.
News on Flannoy.
Wow, that's a Christmas gift.
Woo. I'm happy to hear that. All right, I got the big L because at 8:05 p.m. on Friday night, after John Mateer runs in a touchdown.
Oh, you tweeted something, didn't
you? I tweeted out.
I saw it.
Bama shouldn't have made the playoff.
Oh.
From that point on, it was an Alabama onslaught.
It was you.
And I left a tweet up, could have deleted it.
Proud of you.
Old takes exposed, got dunked on, deserved. But I think both those teams suck.
Wow, they both suck. Okay. Well, they...
No, but Indiana's going to kick their ass.
Yeah, I think that line's like 7.5 right now in favor of
Indiana. And because I said that, Alabama will
three win. Guys just walked by that it could fix my Twitter account. I just can't go there yet.
Well, so...
I've just got distracted, you know?
No, I know. You're chasing, squirrels out here, and I understand.
You know what? Hey, just sitting
you're frustrated with the Twitter account. I feel bad for you.
I am frustrated.
I know.
I am frustrated. I like to interact with folks.
Could you actually pull up the Brian Broaddus Twitter account and see if they tweeted anything else
today?
Lately?
I'll work on that.
I'll work on that.
In the meantime, we wake up Saturday morning. We get College Station, College Game Day. There is no Johnny Manziel. We can address that a little bit later. They had the plan B of Alex Caruso. I wonder how he felt about that.
He ran across campus. You see that video?
Yeah.
They went and got him, and him and his wife, girlfriend, are like, no car, no nothing. They're just sprinting across campus to get over where they need to be.
Well, it was a windy, windy day at Kyle Field, and the offenses could do next to nothing. The kickers could do next to nothing. It was a bit of a tough watch, unless you just really love defense.
A bit.
You know, like
it was a hell of a tough watch.
The defenses were flying around, making good plays. But in the end, Miami gets the victory here, and I was pretty impressed. I mean, Reuben Bain, talk about him.
Yeah.
They got, I mean, Mezidor on the edge there for Miami.
Looked good.
Keontae Scott, that's another guy, too. I don't know if he's draft eligible or not. Do we have him on the big board? Because he's the nickel corner for the Hurricanes.
I have not got to him. No.
He's been all world, and then he's been missed the last few games, comes back for the Aggie game. He was outstanding, sack fumble. Marcel Reed, I mean, it's just he can't find any rhythm. I don't know why he wasn't just running the ball more, because there were plenty of times where he was able to extend drives running the football, and then it felt like they just totally went away from it. And he was trying to throw the ball. They couldn't do much in the way of the run game there. And for all they say about the Aggie pass rush,
there was no pass rush.
There was no pass rush. And Miami's offensive line's legit. I mean, and that's what's gonna that's what they're gonna be, you know, singing the praises of and riding the hope train here versus Ohio State. It's just the D-line and the O-line for the Hurricanes is pretty dang strong, but Carson Beck didn't have to do anything. On the flip side, you would think, like, why didn't Miami try to run the ball more? Because every time they gave it to Fletcher, jeez, I mean, he had 17 carries for $172.
It's unreal.
Like, in a game like that, he should not be having 17 carries. That should be more like 27 carries.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Malachi Toney, he has the fumble, but then he bounces back, has the game-winning touchdown. Credit to whoever the Aggie, I think it's their safety, number three, who on the special teams gets like the all-time shoelace tackle for the Malachi Toney punt return, which should have been a house call. Yeah, that was a great play, because then Miami, I think they end up coming away with nothing because they can't muster up enough offense to get into the end zone. And then, again, the special teams was just ridiculous. So it was an ugly game, and Elko, Marcel Reed, like, I don't know how you approach that. I mean, I guess Reed definitely made strides this year as a quarterback, but losing interception.
State, and I'm about to get Colin Klein as my head coach, and they love Colin Klein there, obviously. Yeah. I'm not super excited. The way that offense finished the season the last two games against Texas and Miami, it's horrible. And Reed did run it 15 times. I mean, I'm with you. That was probably the best offense. And then Le'Veon Moss was supposedly going to go full tilt. Yeah. He was ready to go. They barely used him. 7 carries. Yeah, that was a disgusting offensive performance.
Was it like an offense that kind of like
They should have even played him.
Was probably that kind of like not the offense that had a head coach that was already thinking about his other job?
Yeah, it might have been.
But also,
like,
I think
Dan Quinn-like?
The biggest head scratch of the game for me, though, is Mike Elko running a fake punt and having his punter throw the ball in a windy day where neither quarterback could really throw the ball at all until the final drive for A&M, where they're able to get going. It's like 90 seconds and they're moving the ball down the field, give themselves a chance to win. But it's like, what are you doing going for a fake punt when even your quarterback can't throw the ball in this game? I didn't understand that.
Surprise.
I think the
they're never going to believe we're going to do this.
My favorite part of this, though, was watching the playmaker, Michael Irvin, going from the Jake Paul fight in Miami on Friday night, making it to College Station, crawling around on all fours, howling like a dog,
yes,
barking.
He was
the real 12th man in that game. He's going belt to ass with a literal belt on an A&M jersey that is plastered over a trash can at the end of the day, and then, or at the end of the game. And then you have him running up to Mario Cristobal in the post game on the field interview, giving him a kiss on the cheek. Here was Cristobal after the game.
Just talk about that post game smooch from Michael Irvin and some of the energy that he brings to the sideline.
That was disgusting. You know? I mean, he's got a lot of energy, man. I mean, you know, I couldn't find enough wipes, you know, to clean myself.
I loved it, dude. I love it. I can't wait to see him out there at AT&T Stadium, as he should be for Cowboys games. I'll say it again. I'll beat this drum forever. They should have that version of Michael Irvin on the Cowboys sidelines for games. And, I mean, how can you look over to the sideline, see him doing that, and then not make the best play that you could possibly make?
Let me ask you this.
I don't get it.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like he loves Miami Hurricanes more than the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, certainly. I never see him crawling on all fours and doing that kind of stuff.
But you're talking about the opportunity to do what, you know, to be on the sidelines of the Cowboys and do all the things you're talking about.
Mm.
I kind of feel like that's not his bag for them.
I mean, he does really the pump-up video every year.
Yeah, he does. He does the pump-up video, but...
But that's recorded one time, and then you don't have to worry about
exactly.
it again.
Exactly. I think he loves Miami Hurricanes more than
anything.
What about
every show that he's on every week, yelling and screaming and spitting about the Cowboys? Come on. He loves the Cowboys.
No, he does love the Cowboys. I do think...
I think he loves Miami more.
You think he loves Miami more?
I love LSU more than the Cowboys myself.
I was going to say, I think most people have more
love my school more than the Cowboys, by far.
Yeah, I think...
It hurts me more when LSU loses a game, or in any sport, anything they lose at, I get like upset.
Yeah,
I think Michael Irvin is, I think he's 10 times more hateful about losing at Miami than the Cowboys.
Okay, the TAMU police report we will get to later on in the program. Wolchuk, let's talk more ball.
Perfect. Let's talk with Brian Dantzel, Elite Media Network, coming up next in the Nation.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.